You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.
This is New Hampshire Now, 1914-15-NHTalkRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by ARP New Hampshire, as well as the Concord Food Co-op. And this segment of the show brought to you by P&N Automotive. I trust Chuck. He's the best in the capital region. I know it's so hard to find an honest garage. P&N Automotive, 140 Pleasant Street. Phone number 225-4313. Again, that's 225-4313. Also, I wanted to talk to you about Rath Young and Pignatelli. They have a national impact that's unique in New Hampshire. For information, check out rathlaw.com. Rath Young and Pignatelli, proud sponsors of New Hampshire Primary Interviews here on the New Hampshire Now program. For this segment of the program, we're going to head up into Franconia Notch and Cannon Mountain, where my 7-year-old Brent and I went skiing yesterday. We had an absolutely incredible time, and we're going to learn more about Cannon Mountain here in this segment of the program as we're joined by JD, who is the general manager of Franconia Notch State Park. We are at Cannon Mountain, which is the living legend of New Hampshire. It's what the great skiers in this state, they talk about Cannon Mountain. And actually, this is our first time at Cannon, as Brennan's with me, my 7-year-old, with JD, who's general manager not just of Cannon, but also of all of Franconia Notch State Park. And I'll say, it was absolutely beautiful to ski here, but also to drive through the notch this morning as the trees were glistening with snow. You hit mile marker 96 and you get that first look into the notch, and it is absolutely awe-inspiring. And so let's talk a little bit about the history of Cannon Mountain first, as this is one of the great legendary ski slopes in all of the East.
Yeah, like I say, you know, when you're coming northbound and you hit exit 31, right, as you come around the corner, it's kind of like another oh my gosh corner when you first see the notch kind of glistening and bathed in white. It looks really, really cool. And especially this year where there's really not much snow south of Lincoln yet. It sounds like you guys are going to catch about a foot down south during this upcoming week. So Franconia Notch State Park was founded in 1928 as an everlasting monument to New Hampshire's wartime veterans. The ski area came online in 1938 with the first idea and concept of the aerial tramway launching around 1933, funding in 1934. And again, they opened up in June of 1938 and opened for skiing in December of 38. So essentially the first aerial tramway in North America. We've got the original pro ski patrol here, America's first professional ski patrol. Peckett's Hill was the site of the first ski school in America, just down the road a piece. And so Cannon is essentially fraught with history. First World Cup in North America back in 1967. Again, you know, so many historic things here, but really over the last 10 or 12 years, we've sort of rebuilt the ski area from the inside out and from the top down. Doubled the grooming, doubled the snowmaking, doubled most of the base lodges and capacities. So we've really moved into this middle part of the new millennium with guns blazing, so to speak.
So tell us a little bit what lift we're on right now and what we're going to do for our first run up here. And this is one of those times where radio does not do the situation justice, as we're moving upwards towards the sun, towards the peak of Cannon, looking out into Franconia Notch to the east. So tell us what we're going to do here to start, and a little bit about the landscape here, because for me, one of the biggest attractions to skiing is the views, and this is one of, if not the best spots in New Hampshire in terms of that.
Yeah, the beauty of Cannon, as we say, is that no matter what your ability level and what part of the mountain you're skiing in, the views are always the same. You've got, we're sort of bathed here in the shadow of Mount Lafayette. We call that our great protector. And no matter whether you're at the Tuckabrook Family Area, the Brookside Triple, if you're literally just starting off on nearly flat terrain, or if you're way up at the top of Cannon, or if you're tackling the steeps on the front five, you always get the same view of that magnificent Lafayette Range. It's really cool, and the Franconia Range in general. And that's what makes Cannon so special, is that everybody has that same feel, whether you're on the Cannon side or the Mittersill side. So we're riding the Eagle Cliff Triple here, and it's a great progression from the Brookside area to the Tuckabrook Family area over here to Eagle Cliff. So this is sort of the first trip up onto the big hill or the main hill, and yet you still get beginner and intermediate terrain right here. So it's really a nice introduction for a learner or a novice to the Cannon, the big mountain over here.
You mentioned that Canon opened 1938, and I'm curious as to what the time period is in regards to skiing. Like, is that one of the first ski areas to open in the country? Like, when did skiing become popularized and the lifts start to become a part of things? Ski resorts start to become a part of things.
Well, the first lift in the United States was at Sun Valley, Idaho. That was late 30s. I'm not sure if it was 36, 37, 34, somewhere in there. The aerial tramway was essentially built as a tourist attraction, primarily for summer use. But the CCC, Franconia Ski Club, and several other groups sort of launched skiing in New Hampshire by cutting the Taft Slalom Trail over toward Mittersill. And then the aerial tramway was built, and we sort of extended things back through this way with Upper Cannon, Upper Ravine, and trails of that nature.
So we're at Cannon Mountain. We're going to be skiing with JD here for the next little bit throughout the course of the program, and we're going to get our first run of the day in. What's that going to be?
We're going to go right here on Lower Cannon, just below the Eagle Cliff Triple.
So that's perfect. And so tell us a little bit about the landscape as well here. What are we looking out at as we ski down towards the north?
Yeah, so we're riding over what the trail called Lower Cannon. Off to our left, and what faces 93 is the front five. It's actually more like the front nine with so many trails over there. Off to the distance, you can see the Lafayette Range, and the Franconia Ridge. Up above us is actually the peak of Cannon. So we top out at about 4,180 feet once you get up above the aerial tramway to the top of the Cannonball Quad. Well off to our right is the bulk of Cannon proper, and then you've got the ridge in between, and over the backside of that is actually Mittersill, which is also owned by Cannon. So we expanded by some 100 acres or so back in 2009 when we reabsorbed the entirety of the Mittersill terrain from the feds.
So that was a great opening run, both for the views as we looked out towards the north. We saw Echo Lake looked out towards the north. But also, the trail itself is such a good opening run because there's a lot of open space. You can get your legs out on it, you get some speed. And it's really good for kids, too, because I find a lot of the learning trails at mountains are pretty crowded, with people who are going fast and people have no idea what they're doing. And that's not the best environment for learning. It makes you pretty nervous.
Yeah, mixing fast and slow is never a good idea.
It's like driving in Florida.
Yeah, kind of like mixing uphill or downhill. And again, the Eagle Cliff terrain area is a great progression from the Tuckabrook family area and from Brookside. So Brookside is basically flat, and it's got its own triple chair. It's about a 3-4 minute chair, a couple minute run. Then you move over to the Tuckabrook family area, which is actually 14 trails and glades specifically designed for learning, and it's got its own quad. And the beauty of it is that you've got Cannon proper sort of on the left-hand side of the ski area, Mittersill over on the right-hand side of the ski area, and then the Tuckabrook family area is sort of set lower and in between the two, so you don't have everybody doing 100 miles an hour. You're not fearing for your lives, looking out for your children or whatnot. Everyone can just relax and learn over there at a great pace, and then they graduate over here to the Eagle Cliff terrain.
Run.
How do you make the jumps?
How do they make the jumps?
Oh, well, actually, we make snow. So our main park over here is on the toss-up trail. We've got 21 snow guns and sets of hydrants over here. So we'll make snow for at least 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5 days. And then we've got a crew of two primary terrain park builders. This guy Lars and another guy named Josiah. They'll come out here and mostly at night, sometimes during the day, they'll put everything back together. And then every night they just do a little maintenance on it.
So the tram is not open yet. When are you guys planning on having that open?
Most likely the Friday before Christmas. So it looks like the 20th this year is probably when we'll open top and bottom of the tramway.
How do you determine which trails open when and kind of the time period? Obviously, the weather has a lot to do with that, but you can pretty much get a handle on what the weather is going to be and plan things out.
Yeah, typically our formula is that we will open out of our primary Peabody base area. So we'll open with the Peabody Quad, the Eagle Cliff Chair. We'll stretch to a little bit over toward the front five, so we'll run the Zoomer lift over there just to get some of our Franconia Ski Club's kids going in and out of their building over there called Ernie's House. Then we'll tend to stretch upward through the middle, and then we'll head over toward the Tuckabrook area. Then we'll head over toward the bottom, what we call the lower loop on Mittersill, and then we come back toward the front five. That's really about our first 3 to 4 weeks of opening and operations. Then we head back up toward the top and stretch our legs that way.
That is a JD. He's joining us here at Cannon Mountain. First time for Brent and I here at Cannon Mountain. We're really excited to be here. And again, radio is not doing this justice because the trees are completely filled with ice and snow all around us into the valleys of the mountain.
Definitely winter.
Yeah, you can definitely feel winter. And again, as the snow hits, as this airs here on Monday, it's snowy in Concord as well. But on Sunday when we were up here, you drive up and then all of a sudden, bam, you get to exit 31, like JD has mentioned before, and then all of a sudden it is definitely winter time, and the snow is up here. That's one of the things I noticed too on that run. Like the snow was really good. How do you guys go about making sure that you are getting snow on the hill as opposed to those icy patches?
Yeah, I mean, typically when we're making snow for the first time on a trail, when a trail is not open yet, we'll make a thicker, wetter, heavier snow so that you do get a good solid base. And then as we tend to get closer to opening, we will dry it up. And by dry it up, I mean we apply less water to each and every gun as we're moving our way through. We have guys doing constant checks on the guns themselves. Our day shift guys actually are on skis so that they can traverse the hill faster and make more gun runs, as we call them. And the second and third shift guys are on foot, obviously, because they're out there in the dark. But we do tend to run quality control each time. And then once a trail is open, sometimes we'll go back and do what we call dusting the trail every couple of weeks, or Mother Nature has to kick in at some point.
When you look at Cannon and many of the great ski resorts here in New Hampshire, there's obviously a lot of different reasons that folks will choose one mountain or the other. But when you look at Cannon, what do you think is the reason, rationale that folks will choose to ski at Cannon? As I mentioned before, a lot of the intense skiers that I know love Cannon, and it's kind of a traditional type of a mountain for them. They grew up in New Hampshire, etc. Is the tram a big attraction, the view, the skiing itself? What do you see as being the biggest driving forces behind Cannon as a ski attraction?
Well, typically we say, number one, it's the product underfoot. We've spent the last 12 years improving and growing our snowmaking system by about 50 to 100%, depending upon which area of the mountain you're at. So really, The value of Cannon revolves around the product underfoot. It revolves around, obviously, the terrain itself and the scenery that surrounds you. A lot of it is the people. I mean, we call ourselves a great, big, giant family ski area that just happens to have some kick-butt terrain.
That's a really good point, because if there's not a, quality experience in terms of the customer service, the food, that all drives it to a large degree, because people aren't just looking just for one aspect of the experience generally. Your big-time skiers are just looking for the good skiing, but other folks are looking for just about everything if they're coming up here for a vacation. So we had a couple good runs so far. Brent hasn't fallen once. Brent's progressing. Brent's a pretty good skier. I'm pretty proud of you, Brent. Good job. So now what are we going to do?
Now we're going to go over and experience what we call the front five, again, which is actually more like the front nine or front 11 with all the trails that are over there. But predominantly when you're cruising by on the highway, people see Gary's, they see Rocket, they see Zoomer, Pauly's Folly, and Avalanche. And then they don't see all the other stuff off to the right of that. We're going to go ski Gary's Run, which is the most mellow of the front five. Brennan should be able to handle that with no problem. It's going to feel like we're skiing right down the front and into Echo Lake. We'll make a big right-hand turn back over toward the Zoomer Triple, and we'll actually pass by Ernie's house, which was built in 1976 for non-exclusive use by the Franconia Ski Club.
So you mentioned we're going to be doing that run, and all the different names, the trails and stuff. Brennan always has a really good question in regards to the trail names and how you come up with different trail names. And we learned at Pat's Peak, they're all based upon wind conditions, and they're supposed to let you know basically how difficult the trail is based upon the wind conditions. That was pretty cool. Like one is duster, hurricane, etc. And as the wind condition gets worse, the trail gets more difficult. How did you guys go about determining what trails are named? What seems like a lot of trails are named for individuals.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here that's named after people. Some stuff is named from a historical perspective, and some stuff is really named with no rhyme or reason whatsoever. We haven't named a whole lot of stuff in the last 10 or 12 years or so. When we do, sometimes we'll have a naming contest. Sometimes we'll just sort of see what comes to mind within reason.
And also, you mentioned there's been expansion and there's been, you know, things you've done over the last 10 or 12 years. How do you determine, you know, what gets done or where you put in a new trail or the type of investment that that you guys make? There's obviously a lot of terrain that's available here to expand Cannon Mountain if you wish to do so, which not every, you know, mountain has that opportunity. As we were explaining to Brennan before, you're the general manager not just of Cannon Mountain but of the entire, you know, Franconia Notch State Park, and with that, you know, comes responsibility, but there's also these opportunities to do, you know, new things.
Yeah, you know, the Mittersill expansion, so to speak, was more of a reclamation. So Mittersill as a ski area closed up in 1984. And in 1989, the lower two-thirds of that terrain was sold to the state for $1 under the auspices that Mittersill would eventually be absorbed into the Cannon footprint. And in 2009, so it took about 20 years for us to work up a great land deal with the feds. We gave them Sentinel Mountain State Forest. They gave us the upper 100 acres in Mittersill. So we, with the stroke of a pen by Governor John Lynch and then White Mountain National Forest Manager Tom Wagner, we grew by about 68%. Since 2007, we've grown our terrain footprint by about 72-73%. When we're adding trails, a lot of times, to be honest with you, we will incorporate terrain that people have already been skiing for sometimes decades into our trail footprint. Sometimes we'll add snowmaking, sometimes we won't. Here at Cannon, people love natural snow more than just about any area that I've ever experienced on the East Coast. So if we don't have to make snow on a particular trail, if it gets particularly laden with snow during the course of most years, we'll go ahead and try to leave that natural so people can have that experience.
How much glade skiing do you have? Because that's another obviously huge attraction for folks, is, you know, the opportunity to ski in natural snow off trail.
Yeah, we've got 20-something glades. Some of ours are specifically built for, or not built, but designed for beginners and intermediates. But I will say, most of our terrain here that's gladed does tend to be a little bit steeper. We've got everything from, you know, really staircases with trees in the way to stuff that's a little bit more mellow. And then we've probably got, oh, if I had to venture a guess, there's probably 50, 80, 100 acres of terrain here that's not on the trail map, just because we want it to be a little bit more natural experience, and folks will go out and find that stuff on their own.
And that's one of the main things about Cannon too, is there are, you know, mountains across the state which are great ski mountains and we love going to. But, you know, I was saying before, like, one of my favorite cities in America is Memphis. And because, you know, you go there and you want to feel, you know, what the blues were like in the 1950s, what it was like when Elvis was there in the 1950s. And, you know, for better or worse, it's pretty much the same. There's a lot of the same things that are there. And that's one of the great things about Cannon too, is that you have the modern snowmaking, but it feels like, you know, there is a that's like a Fenway Park, Wrigley Field type of a feel to it, where it's, yeah, it's got the modern amenities and stuff, but you feel like you're doing something that is kind of historic in a lot of ways, where this is where people learned to ski for decades here in New Hampshire. This is Bodie Miller's mountain. There's just a lot of history here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we will, there's a funny old saying that if it's closed at Cannon, it would probably be closed anywhere in New England and possibly anywhere in America. I mean, we will open just about anything that's got enough natural cover to provide you with a fun experience. Now, you do have to ski within your ability levels, and we do tend to put a lot of markings out there for caution or experts only or whatnot. We call it putting them on notice and really letting people going out and having fun. So this weekend, we've got 37 trails open. We've probably only made snow on about 20 or 22 of those at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely that live free or die type of a feel to it, where, you know, you make those choices for yourself, but it's open and the opportunities are there. So we've skied down Gary's Trail now, which was another amazing picturesque type of a view as we looked down, and it looked like we were skiing into Echo Lake. Let's talk about Franconia Notch State Park during, you know, the winter time. Obviously, when you think of the park, you know, it's the fall, it's the spring, it's the summer, but a lot of good winter opportunities here too.
Yeah, a lot of people yesterday, for example, were out skating on Echo Lake. It's always safe to wait until the ice is very thick. We advocate for at least 6 inches thick. And we actually had kite skaters out there, which was pretty amazing, similar to kite surfing, but they were out there on Echo Lake. A lot of people will hike all the way through the winter months with micro spikes or with snowshoes throughout the notch. The Flume Gorge is now essentially open every day during the winter months. And again, we heavily advocate for snowshoe use or micro spikes as you hike up through the Flume Gorge. You can't get through the actual gorge itself. You can go up to the top, or you can go down through the bottom and make your way out from there. Again, so much stuff going on. There's a lot of folks who snowmobile through the notch on the Franconi Notch State Park Recreation Trail. And they'll take the tramway when it's open, and typically that is Friday through Monday on non-holiday weeks, and then open every day during holiday weeks. So plenty to do up here for sure.
And my friend Taylor Caswell, the business and economic business and economic affairs commissioner, big skier here at Cannon Mountain, and is always pointing out how much he loves Cannon. But he has talked a lot about how there's been such advancements in technology and new feelings and philosophies in regards to hiking, different types of sports, different ways of skiing, uphill skiing, and that has made a significant change in, you know, how New Hampshire is thinking about the recreation economy. What have you noticed, particularly in Franconi Notch State Park, and with the popularity of hiking and the commitment the state has made towards making things more easy, readily available for folks?
Yeah, we do see a lot of folks who do a lot of winter hiking, and skinning has really exploded within the ski industry. We held off a little bit. We're not really big advocates of uphill versus downhill, but you do have to embrace it because the sport is exploding. So that's, again, using skis with detachable bindings and uphill grip devices known as skins. You know, they used to use mole skins and Erskine skins and whatnot. But skinning has exploded. We do have a skinning route that will take you from bottom to top. You can buy a ticket specifically for that. We do see, again, as I said, a lot of hikers will come up through our glades, especially Kinsman Glade, over toward the southern side of the ski area. Again, with the snowmobilers, we've seen a lot of usage of the snowmo, the recreation trail, and a lot of them will tend to stop at the aerial tramway, take a ride up, grab a coffee or even a beer at New Hampshire's highest beer taps, head down and continue with their New Hampshire experience. And we love being a part of that primary New Hampshire experience as they come through the notch.
I think that's one of the conclusion here. I think that's one of the great things about Franconi Notch State Park is, you know, the accessibility, whether it's driving and just getting out of your car and looking around, whether it's skiing, whether it's, you know, taking a small hike to, you know, the top of that little cliff above Echo Lake and looking over there, or, you know, taking the tram up to the top and snowshoeing or walking, you know, during the spring or summer months, just the Ridgeline Trail. It's there's so many great things.
I got a funny story.
You can do, yeah.
Yeah, we actually, it was kind of funny. Back in 2018, about a year ago, we found out that we were Ski Magazine's hidden gem of New England, and they discovered us after, you know, 80, 85 years in existence.
It's good to be discovered.
They discovered us with three highway exits cruising right through Franconi Notch State Park.
I don't know how they did it. It was tough. There's a lot of backwoods travel in order to find Cannon Mountain. Well, JD, really thank you for your time.
Thank
appreciate
you guys for coming.
And we'll look forward to coming up to Cannon again, because it is, in my view, the premier ski spot in the great state of New Hampshire.
Thank you guys for coming. Let's go do some more skiing.
Thanks to JD for having us up at Franconi Notch State Park and Cannon Mountain on Sunday. Great conversation there. So much history and beauty within the notch up in the White Mountains of the great state of New Hampshire. This hour of the program is presented by ARP New Hampshire, as well as the Concord Food Co-op. And that segment of the show brought to you by P&N Automotive, as well as Rath Young and Pignatelli and RathLaw.com.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.